Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I am married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself?
Oh, yes. Hey, I am Carol Jurgensen-Sheets, and I'm here with you for Sex Help with Carol the Coach. And you know this is the only show about sexual addiction through iTunes, and we are here on Blog Talk Radio. I can't tell you how much I learn on this show. You think you learned something on the show? Well, let me tell you, I learned just as much. It's one of the most incredible experiences of my lifetime. You know, I've done radio and television for a long time. You know, Drive Time, the real radio station where you turn it on in your car or in your home. And I've done advice shows. I'm an advice columnist and I'm an advice host. And so I give advice. And I would truly love to be able to do that. However, there's something about sex that brings out people who don't take it real seriously. And yet, what I know to be true is I get hundreds of emails a week from people who are suffering from this illness that thank me profusely because I am disseminating information that they really can use. And so for that, I'm incredibly grateful. And I know that I'm making a difference. And really, that's what it's all about. It's about doing things in your life where you make a difference. So I do this internet radio show on Monday nights. Most of you don't listen on Monday nights, but you download me during the week and you listen then. This radio station has the capability of telling me how many open downloads there are. So we've got over 500,000 downloads, but about 300,000 open downloads. And I got to tell you, I'm really humbled by that. The reason I say that is because clearly I know there are a lot of people listening all over the globe. And you know, one of the things that I do is that I Skype and do internet coaching. I'm a life coach. I'm an executive coach. I'm a sex addictions coach. And I'm a therapist. I'm a CSAT. That's a certified sexual addictions therapist. And I'm working towards my certification for partner training. I just completed my APSETS, which is just an amazing certification program. It's the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists. In other words, I work with partners, and I've been certified to do that. Well, shouldn't say certified. I'm in the process of getting my certification. I have been trained to do that. Now I just have to get my supervisory hours. And here's what I know to be true. This show has actually made me an expert with working with partners, too. So how lucky am I that I give to you information and education that I know you'll find helpful, and in the process, I learn things, too. I learn who's the best of the best out there. I learn what their models, their projects, their beliefs are, and I get to do what anybody does in 12-step recovery. They take what they need, and they leave the rest. And I wanted to tell you about something that I talked about last week. Starting February 12th, Rob Weiss will become a volunteer host for a weekly live online sex and porn addiction webinar, quote, In the Rooms, unquote. It's a nonprofit website dedicated to the recovery community and 12-step sourced healing. The goal is to introduce basic concepts about sex, porn, and love addiction to those who struggle and want to learn more on every level. How cool is that? Today, ITR hosts over 150 12-step meetings weekly, open free to anyone all over the world. So what do you do? How do you find out more information? Well, the topic, sex, porn, relationships, and addiction, begins February 12th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. Anyone from anywhere in the globe who has internet access can attend. How do you do that? You go to www.intherooms.com. And I know Rob. He's an amazing guy who has a lot to offer, very entertaining. He's actually going to be teaching about group therapy in my refresher course next week. Yes, I'm taking a refresher course, and I am going to the ITAP Symposium. That's the organization run by Patrick Carnes that trained me, and I'm going to be presenting there. You know, I presented on group work for men, and this time I'm going to be presenting on post-traumatic growth. Now, here's what I know to be true. I know that many of you are in the throes of feeling vulnerable, feeling shame, and feeling pain. But hang with that. Get good recovery because you are going to experience post-traumatic growth. And when you do, you're going to give back to the community in ways that you never thought you could do. You're going to be better husbands and wives for your family, better mothers and fathers, better community leaders, better coworkers, and just all in all, better people. Now, that's what I promise you. I would not lie. I would not work with this population if I didn't believe that they truly were amazing when they seek and find recovery. So, again, I want you to go to www.intherooms.com. February 12th is when the show starts, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, tonight, I am going to be interviewing Tim Devitt. And, you know, he has a practice called sexualrecoverycoach.com. And this is what I believe to be true. It's an amazing opportunity for people who don't have CSATs or APSATs available in your area to get some recovery coaching, distance coaching, as he calls it. It's a resource for men and women who are sexually compulsive to the detriment of their lives. The concept evolved from a desire to help people who have no local resources, no competent therapists, no 12-step support groups, and virtually no help. Now, you and I know that if you want help, you can go to AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, NA, Narcotics Anonymous, OA, Overeaters Anonymous, or DA, Debtors Anonymous. But you know what? Those groups are helpful if you don't have anything, but they don't specifically focus on the process addiction of sex addiction, partner trauma as a result of sex addiction. So, Tim is going to be talking about his program and how it leads to a client building a support network, finding a therapist, doing 12-step work. And I love professionals that are innovative. They realize that not everybody can do what is absolutely necessary for recovery. And so what do? You make the best of what you can get. And I'm telling you, sometimes that can be better than what mainstream America or mainstream world is doing. And so I can't wait for you to hear his work that he's been doing. Recovery coaches, he says, are not sponsors or therapists, but there is some overlap in these functions, as well as in case management. And being a coach, I get what that means. You know, I don't know if as a mental health therapist I can do Skyping, but what I do know is as a recovery coach, hey, I can do coaching. I can on Skype, through Skype, or through the phone, help you to get the resources you need to get healthy. And Tim's going to be talking about his program because it's an amazing opportunity for people to get the help they need when there is nothing available in their community. And he'll be on in just a few minutes. Now today, the question of the week was about relationships. You know, I had a client, and he said, right now, my wife has asked for a divorce, and I don't have any triggers. And I'm kind of wondering if my marriage actually kept me in a state of wanting to act out. Did it trigger me? Is it responsible? And that was in one of my groups. And so the guys in the group explained to this person who was a newbie in the group, hey, yes, your relationship, your marriage can be a trigger for acting out, but it is not responsible for acting out. Yes, marriages can be stressful. There are extra expectations that you may feel. But I promise you this, as did the group, that your sexual addiction started way earlier than your marriage or started as a result of behaviors that you engaged in that had nothing to do with your marriage. I mean, it was ultimately you that made the choice to participate in the behaviors that became compulsive. And so it's really important to recognize that. And never to blame the partner for the sexual addiction. And that can be tough, because what we know to be true is that we're always looking for reasons to blame. To blame our addiction on, whether it's workaholism, gambling, overeating, sexing, drugs, alcohol. And ultimately, my coaching principles are threefold. Here's what I believe to be true. In coaching, it says that you have to live by principles and values that you believe in. And so my three top principles are these. One, we are 100% responsible for our behavior, no matter what your issues, no matter what the problems. I am 100% responsible for my behavior. And that way, I don't blame it on anybody else. There may be reasons for it, but I'm responsible. That's principle number one, and it's huge. Principle number two. You know, most people aren't good at asking for what they need and receiving. So I always say, go for the big ask. What does that mean? ask for help. You know, one of the reasons people flail in recovery is because they don't call somebody in the fellowship to interrupt a pattern. Because they don't ask somebody, what helped you the most when you started to act out? So go for the big ask. And then the third one is to understand that surrendering to the process actually helps you to get to the place you need to be to gain wisdom. So in other words, have faith that whatever happens in your life is supposed to happen. And as long as you're working hard, that will never fail you. So those are the three coaching principles that I propose, because clearly, when you apply those to your life, and Dr. Patrick Carnes actually had 1/4 of his training on coaching, and he believed that once you get very, very stabilized in your recovery, you can take your life to the next level. And what he and I, and I'm sure Tim's going to agree with this too, believe is that clearly, if you apply some of these coaching principles to your life while you're working on recovery, your life goes a lot better, you feel a lot healthier, and you improve both your confidence and your self-esteem. So I'm going to welcome Tim to the show. Again, Tim Devitt is a sexual recovery coach, and he has founded his practice, sexualrecoverycoach.com, which is focused on distance coaching. So, Tim, welcome to the show.
Hello, Carol. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So what an innovative practice you have. I mean, what a resource for men and women who are sexually compulsive to access to improve their lives.
Well, thank you. It's been an interesting kind of journey for me. It developed out of I was working for a time for one of the treatment centers for sexual addiction, and I just discovered through many, many phone calls, a lot of people are really kind of out in the wilderness around this, you know. They just are kind of lost. I heard you talking about partners, which is a big part of it, you know, because oftentimes it's the partner who calls first. And because they're just are flummoxed. They don't know what the heck to do, you know. And just by beginning to give them a little education about what's going on and letting them know some of the resources that are available and guiding them towards the kind of things they can read or the kind of things that where they can get some support and understanding of this, it goes a long way towards, you know, alleviating that initial pressure, you know, because, you know, as you know, Carol, they're, you know, when there's some discovery made, or if discovery is made by a partner, or sometimes it's just the addict who is just sick and tired and just can't take it anymore, you know, but they're usually in kind of a deep crisis, you know, and what I'm trying to do is to fill a niche, you know, to sort of get them going, you know, to get a program going so they can start to get some relief from this, to see a little bit of hope, you know.
Well, you said your program is all about education and hope. So how long has your program been in existence, and what was the inspiration? I mean, was it the partners that called that said, my husband and I are miserable, I'm very worried about him, or how did it all develop?
Well, that's certainly part of it. You know, there are a couple of directories. You know, you mentioned ITAP. ITAP has a directory of therapists who are specialists in this. STASH has a directory, but there are not a whole lot of trained, knowledgeable therapists throughout the country who know how to deal with this issue. And there are also, in some areas of the country, you know, there's not a lot of 12-step groups. The 12-step groups are really good, really supportive, really helpful. And I try to incorporate 12-step work in my work. And, you know, and most people who work in this field do that. sometimes they can't, you know, they can't really access any kind of help. And so I was just scratching my head saying, what can I do for these guys? You know, what can I do? And, you know, I'll give you an example. I did talk with a guy who was in pretty deep crisis, and he lived in a very rural area, and there were no trained therapists around, no CSATs anywhere nearby. There were no 12-step groups that I could find. And what I did with this man was that I suggested he, and I've done this with others afterwards, but I suggested he go to an AA meeting. And of course he said, well, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, but I don't want to do that. And I said, well, you know, you're an addict. So, you know, you go there and you qualify and you tell them that you're an addict. And, you know, what you might do is you might hook up with a couple of other guys who have a similar problem. And sure enough, that's what happened. And, you know, and they started their own little SAA group there in that town, and they sort of got that going for themselves, you know. And it's that kind of resourceful, developing resources where there are none, and that sort of got me going, thinking, well, you know, there's a big gap. You know, you can go, a sex addict in trouble can go away for, 7 weeks somewhere, or you can go away for a 2-week intensive, or you can go away for this or that. And there are varying degrees and varying needs of levels of care that just, I think there are gaps, and there are, and Carol, the shame part of this really keeps people from accessing the kind of help that they could use, you know. So I try to help with that.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, what I totally believe to be true is that AA, NA, and OA, all those groups have that 12-step structure. You know, one of the things that Patrick Carnes taught us is that there are almost always multiple addictions. So if somebody is suffering from sexual addiction, there is another addiction that's prevalent. And maybe that's workaholism, maybe that's gambling or drugs or alcohol. And so Bill W. said it best when he was working in AA, and he said, you know, if you got two people that want to work on the problem, you've got a group. And so it sounds like you're a real proponent of 12-step work, as am I. And you probably can help direct clients to the right reading materials. You know, I know that I direct clients to other resources. You know, for clients that don't believe in 12-step work because they're agnostic or atheist, I might refer them to Recovery Nation or some of the online groups that also work on recovery tools.
Yeah, you make a good point, because there's a large universe of help available. You know, when AA started in 1935, you know, that was it. That was the only game in town. And since then, you know, we've learned a lot about addictions and how, as you say, people have multiple addictions. Addictions, as Carnes likes to say, addictions migrate. You know, you put the, you know, what we call the whack-a-mole theory. You know, you put one down and something else pops up somewhere else. We see that a lot. You know, you bring up something that's really important to me in my work, and that is the kind of spiritual nature of the spiritual, not the nature, the spiritual component of recovery, which. You know, because of the way AA began as a kind of a sort of Christian-based kind of group, you know, out of the Oxford group and all that, you know, a lot of people are put off by that, and they have a problem with it. And in my work, I've started to refer as much as I can to the kind of fundamental spiritual principles that are contained in the 12 steps. You know, they're not original. Bill Wilson didn't write the 12 steps. You know, they're essential. They're kind of essential spiritual principles, you know, that you'll find in indigenous peoples and Native American lore. You'll find it in Buddhist philosophy. You know, you'll find it in almost all organized religions, some version of these principles. And to look at it from in a kind of inclusive way, and as you said, you take what you want and leave the rest. You know, part of what we do, Carol, I think, is you know, we try to help people get over their objections, because there's a tremendous amount of fear around, you know, there's a tremendous amount of fear around facing this stuff and, you know, finally facing and saying, okay, what am I going to do about this? I have to do something about it, but they don't know what to do. And, you know, and it's a kind of frightening unknown, you know, and I try to help guide
100%.
Them through that unknown.
Your practice is basically called distance coaching. So talk a little bit about who are your clients and what is distance coaching.
Okay. Well, there are a couple of kind of different sort of populations of people I work with, but there are those who for one reason or another, don't want to work with a local therapist. Either they can't find one they like, they don't want to go to therapy, and I offer them something which is like kind of a notch below therapy, so they don't have to go to therapy, you know, if they're really resistant to it. But there's a lot of the, you know, as I said, there's a lot of overlap. You know, you can't really deal with an addiction without talking a little bit about trauma and about childhood things and that kind of thing. Even though I don't do, you know, psychodynamic therapy. But you sort of touch on that stuff, and I look at it as like a stepping stone, you know. Someone might work with me and then go into and find a weekly therapist or a group therapy to join, or I will get them into a 12-step community and then maybe a feedback group with that. So I sort of try to initiate them into the process and then help them build a support network around that. Now, a lot of these people are, as I said, people who can't, they don't have resources, you know, locally or for one reason or another, they don't want to do that. And some of my guys are travel a lot, you know, they have the kind of work that takes them internationally or takes them to different places, and they need to stay in touch, they need to stay in contact, and I help them with that. And then the third area is, you know, when people are reintegrating, you know, maybe they've been in treatment, maybe they've gone to a rehab or something, and they're trying to reintegrate into their lives, and they are faced with the challenges of integrating recovery work in an important, substantial way in their life. Dealing with the kind of fears and the shame and the, maybe they have a partner who is activated and triggered and they've created some difficulty. So they have to deal with the consequences of their actions. And I could sort of help them on a daily basis necessarily, but sort of keep them more, give them a little more structure and a little more balanced than they would get if they're only going to, let's say, a therapist once a week, or you know, maybe they're going to their 12-step groups a couple times a week or something like that. I give them sort of an added punch.
Okay, so then obviously your practice has a phone number that they can ascertain through the internet, and let everybody know, what is your website?
Oh, the website is sexualrecoverycoach.com.
And tell us a little bit about that. If they were to Google sexualrecovery.com, your website would
sexualrecoverycoach.com.
Sexualrecoverycoach.com. Okay.
And
they would be able to contact you via email, contact you via phone. How would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, either way. You know, I have a phone number there, and there's, of course, an email contact, and I always will talk with I'll talk with whoever calls in at length, you know, as a first sort of go to let them know what, you know, who, something about me and what I do, how I, you know, I ask a lot of questions, and, you know, to sort of ascertain what the situation is and what their problem looks like, and if I can help, and then I sort of tell them how I'm able to help. We can do that on the phone, but sometimes email is initial contact. And if I can't help, I can find them someone who can help, you know. That's what I try to do. So they get something, you know, even if they don't, even if I can't help them for one reason or another, I try to find some other resources for them.
So you work diligently on ascertaining them resources, and give us about five of the top resources that you might recommend. Obviously, 12 steps are one.
12 steps a big one, and there are a few 12 step programs that are good. The therapist, as I mentioned, I think, you know, the CSAT list from the ITAP, I know this is like inside baseball, but there's the website IITAP, which is, you know, as you're familiar with that. There is a list of therapists who are trained in sexual addiction. There's another group called SASH, which is the Society for the Advancement of Sexual Health. They also have a directory of therapists who are skilled and trained in this. I use those as resources for referrals. If I can find someone locally who they can work with. And then there are, you know, at a higher level of care, if someone has some legal difficulties, you know, I have contacts with people who are certified to treat sex offenders. You know, not all sex offenders are sex addicts, but many are. There are also a lot of people who are sex offenders just by nature of being addicts, you know, because they're out of curiosity and kind of obsessiveness. They end up looking at stuff on the internet that they ought to be looking at, things like that. So I have specialists in that I would refer to. There are a few premier treatment centers around the country. You know, I would guess the Meadows is probably the top one. There's Keystone in Philadelphia is a good one, Pine Grove, and then there are a couple of 2-week intensives, one in Los Angeles, which is the Center for Healthy Sex, and they have a very good program, and there's another one in Palm Springs, California, called Blue Tiger Recovery. It's another excellent 2-week program for people who can't get away for longer. Those are sort of a higher level of care for people who really want to take care of this problem in a very concentrated, focused way, and then get back into their lives. Doing it the other way with, I mean, let's say a typical addict may go to therapy once a week. He may be in group therapy. And then go to 12-step meetings. Doing it that way can be very effective, and a lot of people do that. But it does take more time than if you, let's say, someone who wants to go away for 5 weeks at the ranch, for instance, or 7 weeks at the Meadows, that kind of thing.
Absolutely, and of course, every treatment center, every program does it just a little bit differently. Now, I know you're an advocate of these treatment centers if the least intrusive doesn't work. For instance, you and I both know that even if somebody doesn't have a 12-step meeting in their town, especially around sexual addiction, SLAA, or SA, they can access these kind of meetings via the phone.
That's true. Yeah. And the one you mentioned, the In the Rooms, that Rob Weiss is going to be doing, I think that's a really good website. And they can access that, and that's there's a lot of help there.
Absolutely. Now, you are basically somebody who believes in the Carnes model, which of course is Patrick Carnes, and 12-step work, and a CBT approach. And you've used this model, and it's pretty successful in many of the treatment centers and in many of the treatment programs around the world. Tell us a little bit about how CBT might be helpful in working with sex addicts.
Most sex addicts that I've encountered have some kind of traumatic event or experience, some kind of thing that went on in their childhood not all of them, but most of them, that created a kind of disconnect created the kind of distorted thinking and the cognitive distortions that we talk about in CBT. Carnes himself talks about the core beliefs, the distorted core beliefs of the sex addict, which essentially are, I'm not lovable the way I am, I'll never get my needs met, my sex is my most important need, you know, and those kinds of beliefs need to be countered, and CBT is very good at that. The other thing that cognitive behavioral therapy can help with is if someone has been acting, the worst part about a sex addiction is that it has people acting outside their own value system. It has people doing things that they are deeply ashamed of. Someone is looking at porn, he's going to prostitutes, he's going to whatever he's doing, but he doesn't want to be that guy. He doesn't want to be doing that. So as a result, there's a tremendous loss of self-esteem and a tremendous piling up of shame and self-hatred, you know. And and cognitive behavioral therapy helps to sort of peel that stuff away. You know, I worked with a really good sex addiction therapist named Sharon O'Hara. And Sharon says, you know, stopping the behavior is one thing, but we're really after bigger game here. You know, so it's like they start to see themselves differently once they start to peel away some of these distorted beliefs about themselves. And once they are able to put together some solid sexual sobriety, the shame can begin to lift and some of these negative core beliefs begin to soften. And they start to really develop a new view of who they are.
Absolutely. We've had Sharon on the phone before, and we've had her on our show, and she is amazing because she looks at what is the trauma that you may have dealt with before the sexual addiction even started, where you may be experiencing some sexual trauma reenactment. Not everybody does that, but clearly if you've had some trauma in your childhood, you may be reenacting that same experience, reenacting something that creates that same level of shame. So it's always important to work not typically with just one model or program. It's great to have a lot of tools in your toolbox. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Some things work with someone, you know, some things work with one person, but not with another, you know. And so you try to find out what they need, where they're at, you know, what can help them. Because we're in this,
absolutely.
You know, we're in this to help people. That's
now,
the thing, you know, we're in this to help people.
So you get to work with these people because you're actually helping to coordinate services with them so that they're not reinventing the wheel. You know what's out there, and you can give them some good, healthy advice as to what they need to make their life better. And like you said earlier, that you oftentimes get the call from the partner, which is different than the spouse. I always say it is the spouse. You know, the addict carries the shame, but it's the partner that carries the pain. And you spoke about SASH. I was speaking about abscess earlier. You know, it's very, very difficult when you find out that there's been a betrayal bond, that your life is shattered because your spouse has acted out sexually. And you do work specifically with spouses and partners, correct?
I do, yes, I do, yeah.
And so what do you do for them? Because, you know, in a lot of ways, they end up actualizing other resources.
Yeah, it's unfair. It's just really not fair. You know, I was working at a rehab center, and when I was doing family groups, you know, I used to talk about how, well, you know, we get these guys in here, And we teach them stuff. We feed them. We make sure they get a good night's sleep, you know. We get them to a psychiatrist if they need medications, and we take care of them. And they're getting all this attention. They're getting all this help. And you all are just sitting at home waiting, you know. It's just not fair, you know. Because, like you say, they have to carry a lot of the pain. And it's vital, you know. It's vital. I've seen a lot of couples repair their relationship and actually come out with a stronger marriage. But it requires a lot of work on both parties, from both parties. I think the APSATS training is a wonderful thing, and it's kind of a neglected. I think it's a neglected a part of the equation, you know. You have people walking around when their whole life has been turned upside down. They realize that for 20 years or however many years, they have been living a lie. You know, their life is not what they thought it was. It's something different. And that's very psychologically confusing and difficult for them, you know.
What are some avenues that you might encourage them to take?
Well, again, there are specialists, as you were referring to, in spouse work, and you're clearly going in that track, you know, and there are others who are doing that. There are partner intensives now developing at different places. I know that Center for Healthy Sex runs a partners intensive. I'm not sure how long it is, but it's essentially, and there are a couple of good workbooks for partners. I'm blanking on the name of you know, the one Stephanie Carnes has a book that's awfully good.
Stephanie, of course, has Mending the Shattered Heart, which isn't a workbook, but it is probably the Bible. Being a partner, and what do you do when you first find out? And then, of course, we have Facing Heartbreak, which is a workbook written co-written by Mari Lee and Stephanie Carnes.
Right.
And I am blanking on that third partner. And then I know Means also has a workbook, and she and Barbara Steffens wrote My Sexually Addicted Spouse, which is the impetus for the partner trauma training program that I just recently went through. So there's some good resources out there.
There's some good material. Yeah, there is. There really is. And there are a couple of 12-step groups for partners of sex addicts. You know, one is called S-Anon, and one is called COSA. And then there's a third one, which is relatively new. I can't remember what it's called. I don't know that much about it, but I know that it's POSA, Partners of Sex Addicts, I believe. POSA.
Exactly. You got it.
Yeah. That's what it is. So, and those groups can be really helpful too.
So you are obviously well-versed in the resources available, you know, internationally and nationally. Now, tell me a little bit about why did you decide to make this your mission and your passion?
Well, I've been working. I have a personal recovery story. I was an alcoholic, and I became sober many, many years ago in AA, and so I've been in the 12-step community for a long time. And I became a drug and alcohol and drug counselor, and became certified and all that. And I just began working. I got a job at the Sexual Recovery Institute in Los Angeles. And that was sort of a opening into seeing this particular addiction, which struck me from the get-go as being not only horrifically painful and difficult for everyone involved, addicts, partners, family, you know, everybody. It just creates all kinds of chaos and havoc in everyone's life. In some ways, even worse than, you know, a heroin addiction or a severe alcoholic. I was struck by the lack of seriousness that people take it. You know, it's like people would joke, you know, people would say, you know, oh, yeah, well, if I got to have an addiction, man, that's the one I want. I want to have that addiction. So there's just such a tremendous a lack of understanding about it. And, you know, and a lot of people say, well, how could that be? How could you how can you be addicted to something like that? You know, and then so it just struck me that there was a great need there to help people. And that sort of drew me to it, you know, so that sort of got into it.
So that's, you know, it sounds like addiction has always been your thing. You've always really wanted to help people that have that compulsive behavior. And, wow, that's amazing. I'm thankful that there are recovery coaches out there. And so what is your training? What is your background in terms of how do you call yourself a recovery coach? How does that happen?
Well, I've had a couple of careers. I had an earlier career, which I retired from a few years back. I went and got my certification as an alcohol and drug counselor. So I did that coursework and then I did it, you know, and I did my internship, get my hours and all that. And then I trained as a life coach, and I became a life coach and got a certification for that. And started working in that field. I did it through the Coach Training Alliance, is the name of the school.
Very good. You know, so I went through IPEC. Have you ever heard of them? The International Professional Empowerment Coaching.
Okay. Well, then you know what I'm. You know, I sort of started to put those things together. You know, and the coaching piece is kind of the impetus for my idea of doing this what I call distance coaching, because the coaching training I had was largely, was telephone work. You know, I mean, the idea of developing ways of active listening and really sussing things out on the phone rather than in person. So that was part of the training, you know, and I found that interesting.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, interestingly enough, when I first started coaching, it was to take your life to the next level, and you could not work with people that had mental health issues. And my program took 2 years. And so by the end of that second year, I met with the president of our foundation, Bruce Schneider, and I told him, I said, you know, Bruce, I wanted to do my coaching first, and next I'm going to go into sexual addiction. And he goes, Carol, that's fantastic. You can become a sexual addiction coach. And I said, Bruce, you just spent 2 years with us that we could not work with people with mental health issues. And, of course, I could because I was a mental health therapist, but not with the hat of a coach. And he said, Carol, this profession is evolving so quickly that's old school stuff, and the new school stuff is develop a niche, get really good at it, and then make it your own. And so clearly, you know, alcohol coach, recovery coaching, drug recovery coaching, sexual addiction, I mean, it is the wave of the future, especially for people that don't have insurance. I don't know charge, and I'm not asking you, but clearly, coaches oftentimes charge a little bit less than therapists.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. And
Go ahead.
The insurance is one thing, and then I think there's another part of it. I think I find that some people are kind of resistant to the idea of therapy. You know.
There's a stigma to it, isn't there?
There's a stigma to it. Yeah. And some people are more willing to be able to say, okay, you know, I'll work with a coach, I'll work with a life coach, and maybe solve some, you know, get a handle on some of my problems, and you know, so it's kind of easier pill to swallow for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, for our listening audience, the difference between mental health therapy and coaching is that obviously in mental health, you as a professional heal the wounds. And depending on what state you live in, you may not be able to do phone consultation or Skype consultation or Zoom consultation. But with coaching, there is nothing that delineates how you can provide your service, which is excellent because it gives the client benefit of whatever the coach has to offer. Now, you always really look at their website, decide, is that something that I want to partake in? And then, you know, spend one, two, or three sessions with that coach to determine, is this a good fit?
Now,
let me ask you, you obviously said you did this work based on your original work with alcoholics, and you have your own recovery story that has probably encouraged you to work. Now, do you believe that pornography is a big part of the sex addiction problem?
It's not only a big part, it's an enormous, it's going to become bigger and bigger. And, you know, I think that we don't even know how big it's going to be. You know, a few years ago, I remember talking to most people would say, well, you know, pornography, look, if it's a problem, it's a problem. If not, you know, all right, everybody looks at pornography, you know, and maybe masturbates a little bit or what. But the more, you know, as you know, the brain chemistry, the research that's going on, ongoing with the neurobiology, and the teenagers are using pornography and they're altering their brains, and it's becoming a very serious problem. There are 19, 20-year-old men with erectile dysfunction. And with no desire and no ability to have any kind of relationship and no ability to become sexually aroused by a real flesh and blood female, I think it's
so it's really affecting the sexuality of any even potential partner, let alone partner
exactly.
that somebody is
exactly.
already involved with.
Yeah,
you were
exactly.
talking teenagers, but I'm even talking grown men who have trained their brain to look at sex a certain way, and therefore realistic, loving sexual relationship is not able to stimulate the person.
Yeah, doesn't do the trick, right. You know, if you look at the internet, you could see more sexual imagery in a minute or two than our ancestors saw in their entire lifetime, you know. And, our brains are just struggling to sort of handle that. What do we do with that, you know? I think it's a huge problem. It's getting bigger and bigger. Because
well, I do, too. As a matter of fact, I was at a Super Bowl party last night.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm shy. And so in the midst of Beyonce doing her gyrations, and she wasn't in anything overly scanty, but it clearly, her performance was sexually alluring, and in the midst of this big party, actually it was a bunch of AAers, I said, I'm the only sexual addictions therapist in any of us. Let me know if you know of anybody who needs my services. And they all laughed. And
well,
my husband goes, my husband, who most people didn't know that we were even together, said, oh yeah, what's your number? And they all laughed again. And then I said, honey, you've got my number, you're my husband, and then they laugh for a third time. But, you know, when I watch how sexualized things are in the media, on television, in videos, on commercials, it's no wonder that we've trained our brains to expect something that really is kind of unhealthy for us. Did you, by any chance, catch any of the Super Bowl
game last
night?
Yeah, I did watch it, yeah, so...
You know, and I don't mean to be a prude. I hope I'm not a prude, but clearly any young person that was watching probably, like many of us, admire Beyonce and know she's incredibly talented, and yet she really is a sexual object up there dancing. And so we're teaching our kids, we're teaching our mothers, we're teaching ourselves how to be sexualized, and that's not a healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, most sex addicts that I deal with.
The show, I want to ask you, believe pornography is a big problem, and you see it as getting worse and worse and worse.
I do. Yeah.
You know that it's particularly harmful to the developing brains of adolescents. Tell me what you mean by that. I mean, how is it actually harmful to the brain?
if you start with the premise that to have a successful life, a happy, successful, contented, productive life, part of that is being able to relate to people and having a relationship and having a family and those kinds of things. Pornography drives one inside. It's a solo act. It's masturbatory. Because there's nobody else there. You know, there's a fantasy, you know, there's some pixels or something there, but there's no one else there. So it works against the development of a healthy relational attitude towards a partner or towards the rest of humanity. And it isolates us in a way that I think is very disturbing. You know, the neurochemistry is light. Fortunately, it's plastic, they say. You know, I mean, I've seen many sex addicts, so they sort of rejigger their brain chemistry over time, you sort of normalize it. You know, and which is why we all of us in this field will say, you know, the first thing you got to do is to do a period of celibacy. You know. And it varies from, you know, some people say 30 days or 90 days or whatever it is. But, you know, you have to get your brain, you know, give it a chance to sort of resettle itself and get back to normal, you know. And again, I mean, I would echo what you said. You know, it's not about being prudish. It's not about being against sex. Sexuality is wonderful, you know. And otherwise we wouldn't be dealing with it this way. Objectified, fantasized, non-relational sex, as part of our society, it leads us to this false. It leads us to a great deal of discontent, I believe, because there's a false promise. You know, the promise that this is going to feel good, this is going to be the way to happiness, this is going to be the way to contentment, when actually the opposite is true. You know, so from a societal point of view, I think it's really harmful.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. You have been very helpful in explaining how this epidemic is affecting people and what resources they can get involved with. Again, for my listening audience, Tim is a recovery coach, and he spends majority of his time helping you to figure out what resources are available to you. Tim Devitt has a website called sexualrecoverycoach.com, and it focuses on distance coaching. And he is a recovery coach, and it's his mission to be kind of your case manager. He's going to get you to the right places and the right resources, and he's going to help you brainstorm what you need best for your own recovery. And if you feel stigmatized by counseling, or if you live in an area it doesn't have 12-step groups, doesn't have certified sexual addiction therapists, you might be wasting your time going to a regular counselor if you're a partner of an addict or whether you're the addict, because unfortunately today a lot of people don't know how to treat this stuff. So Tim can get you to the right place. So Tim, one more time, they can contact you obviously by going to your website, sexualrecoverycoach.com, or they can call you, and that number again is?
The number is 310-625-6776.
All right. So that's two ways to speak with Tim. As you can hear, he's very, very knowledgeable, and he is there to take your life to the next level. So, Tim, I hope we can talk again. You keep me posted on resources that are available, and I'll pass that on to, obviously, my listening audience.
I will do that. It's been great, Carol. Thank you.
All right. Good to talk with you, and we'll talk again soon. Have a great week.
Okay. Bye now.
So, once again, his website is sexualrecoverycoach.com. His name was Tim Devitt. He's a recovery coach. And obviously, another reason for my listening audience. Hey, next week, I am going to be at the ITAP Symposium. Now, that is the symposium that trains certified sexual addiction therapists on what's upcoming and new in the field. And I'm actually going to also be presenting on post-traumatic growth. But I'm going to be here with you. That's right. Neither rain nor sleet or snow keeps me away. And so I'll be catching you hopefully from my hotel room. And I am going to be interviewing another mental health therapist who specializes in sexual addiction. So stay tuned for next week for another informative show. And as I say at the end of every show, you know, there will only be one of you at all times. Seriously, have the courage to be yourself. And this show is all about increasing your strength, hope, and recovery. You're not out there alone fighting this thing. You got me. You can always email me, carolthecoach@aol.com. Keep downloading. You can go to iTunes and just download every single show. We've got about 100 shows now. And you can go to my website, sexhelpwithcarolthecoach.com. And I will be happy to assist you with Skype or in phone coaching and get you to the right place. It's an honor to have been with you tonight. I know you're in distress. I know you're in crisis. And I am here, whether you're a partner or whether you're an addict, I'm here to help you get recovery and take your life to the next level. Have a great week, and we will see you next Monday night, same time, same place, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for more Sex Help with Carol, the Coach. Have a good one.